So on last month's Settling the Score, we talked about how we first became media composers. And this month we want to try and turn our attention to the creative process and how we actually go about making the bits of music that we make. So lots of the time I'm writing music to a brief, and I guess the brief comes in many different forms. I think I can probably say that every project that I've ever worked on has been different in terms of the level of detail in that there is in the brief and the kind of, you know, how specific it is. Is it changes all the time? Is that the same in your experience?
Yeah, very much so for me.
That's part of the skill, I think, that you pick up as you go along being a composer, is you learn to adapt to different briefs. Some briefs might be very good, very concise. Others might be quite vague or a bit misleading. Yeah. And as part of your job as a composer is to kind of decipher the brief and be able to put something together that's what the client's looking for.
So a brief can be, I mean, it can be as clear as literally that people have already put a guide track on their film, which they've been using in the edit quite a lot. They've got thoroughly used to, and they basically come to you and say, will you make something that sounds uncannily like this, please?
Yeah.
And the other extreme, some people have absolutely no idea. They've never really thought much about music, but they think the film should have music.
Do you have a preference? Would you rather have a temp track to work to, or would you rather have a completely open brief?
My preference would be somewhere in between the two. The trouble with temp tracks is that people often do get so used to them that no matter what you do, they're never going to quite get used to not having what they're used to.
I believe that's called a temp love. Heard that expression recently. That's an actual affliction.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not surprised there's a name for it.
Yeah.
And I also, the other thing about that is that I don't know anyone else, but it, in some ways you could argue it's a very easy brief because they told you what to do. It's a no-brainer, but it completely lacks really any creative satisfaction or creative process. You're just churning something out. And I think, I'd like to think that the reason that people would ask me to compose for them is because I'm going to bring something of myself and put something of me in the music, just like they've put something of themselves in the direction or of the film that they're creating. So you lose that element completely. And I think it's important as a composer that you almost get behind the brief and understand the whole premise of what the piece of work as a whole is supposed to be and add your voice to that.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, once you have the brief and the projects go ahead, what's the first thing that you usually do when you're actually settling down to start work on a job? What's usually the first thing that would...
Well, for me, it's usually lots of listening to begin with. So if you've got a brief and you've got an idea about the style of music or possibly used reference tracks or the temp tracks that are on the first edits of the film, then you've got a kind of sound world, or you've got a palette of instruments, whether it's going to be orchestral or whether it's going to be solo piano or whether it's going to be something, where, you know, you've got an idea about those genres and styles of music, and so I would normally spend a bit of time kind of studying the conventions of those styles, the kind of musical conventions, to try and make it so that it's got some level of authenticity behind the genre, if you like. So that would be where I would start, is listening to stuff and trying to absorb, trying to kind of analyze what it is about the style that, you know, that kind of makes it. And also, I suppose it gives you some sort of thinking time, I suppose, to kind of be in the right, be in the right frame of mind. Is that the right way to describe
it? Often my first move has been exactly that, just watching the rough cut or whatever it is I've got. Sometimes it's the final cut, having to think about it, sleeping on it, and then I'll literally sit, press record and throw my hands at a keyboard, and something comes out that is, so I'm working on really a very intuitive level. There's no logic to it. It's just I've soaked all this stuff up and something comes out and I go, yeah, that seems to be doing the right thing, you know.
So would you say that's part of the preparation, though, simply just, as you say, immersing yourself in the project Because in a way, even though you're not actually physically recording anything, it's kind of formulating in your mind. So when you do come to sit down and you press record, it's not as if you're coming at it completely cold.
Yeah.
You've probably already instinctively had some idea of what you were going to do.
And also just the kind of technical things of, like, you know, how many cues do we need, and you know, doing the spotting thing, you know, so spotting the film, if it's a film, kind of saying where the music starts and stops and how many cues there will be through the music, and you know, what we want the function of the music to be with
in
the score. So,
and that's really important, because when you're writing music that's supporting another medium, it's not, the music doesn't exist for its own sake, it's there solely to support the whole thing, and you have to always, from the off, you've got to bear in mind at any given moment what the job of the music is, whether it's reinforcing an emotion or whether it's adding pace to the thing or whatever it has to do. So you kind of, that already tells you a lot about the kind of thing that you're trying to achieve. And I think in answer to what we asked ourselves earlier on, I think often that's my favorite way of working, where you've got someone who's not being really prescriptive and telling you what to do, but has certain flavors and certain specific things they can throw into the mix, and it becomes a real collaborative effort, and that's really enjoyable, I think, and really satisfying when you come up with something that you're both happy with.
Yeah. Well, that's what a director's doing in all aspects of the film he's making,
of course,
with every department. Yeah.
And I mean, while we're talking about this, I suppose people may not have thought about at what point the music gets added to a film. Which, again, the answer, I suppose, is at various different points. Very often it's absolutely last minute.
Yeah, I was going to say, quite often it's...
the film's finished apart from the music, and then sometimes it's... I mean, what's your experience?
Usually it's one of the last things added, and quite often in a sense of panic from everybody concerned.
Yeah, with an impossible deadline.
Yeah. Actually, I have to have some
music. With no budget left as well.
Yeah. We've got no money or time. We want some really quality work from you.
Yeah, I think that's... well, I think that's one of the things that... we're often saying as composers that you would like to work with a filmmaker from the earliest stage possible for the best end result. Yeah. But the practicality of that doesn't often happen, does it?
No. Again, an enjoyable process that I've had a few times is where I'm composing the music during the editing of the film. Mm-hmm. So we're both kind of influencing each other, and that's really nice.
So earlier... Kit, you were talking about you know, sitting down with a keyboard and pressing record, and then, you know, recording ideas. So, I mean, because that's interesting. I don't record. Do you record everything right from the start and have it there, or cause I tend to not do that, I suppose, is why I'm asking.
No, I don't. I think a lot of many times I've sat with the guitar just in the living room and messed and noodled around until I feel I've got something, and then I'll go upstairs and forget what I've just done.
Yeah.
Sometimes I will press record, and because I don't know what's going to happen, I don't want to not record it if it happens to have been good.
Yeah.
The actual mechanics of the process is quite different depending on what I'm doing. There's one time that there was some music for a short film, and we'd agreed that it was just going to be solo piano. I didn't really have any good sample pianos available to me, but I managed to get the use of a rather nice Steinway Concert Grand for an hour. So I just took my recording stuff over and literally improvised for an hour, and then chopped up the results of that into the film score afterwards, which actually I was quite happy with.
Yeah.
That was the second film I ever did.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of equipment, like a lot of people, I basically record on a computer. Yeah. I use some virtual instruments. Probably quite a lot, more than I'd ideally like to, but I try to use a lot of real instruments whenever I can, or replace parts that I've started off in a demo form with real instruments later on, that kind of thing. Any other offers?
Yeah, well, I come up with stuff. Quite often I'll stay at home, but I've got a piano at home. Mm-hmm. I haven't got, you know, all the stuff's in the studio that I use to record stuff on. But I'll kind of improvise, like you say. And it is that thing of sitting for long enough as well and trying to kind of find something that, I mean, you know, sometimes it might be the first thing that you play and it sounds great, and then other times you do it for 3 hours and you get really fed up with it and you think, oh, this is all rubbish, you know, it's not worth it. But I'll sit in the house, and actually using technology is really good. So I'll record stuff on my phone and then click upload, and it uploads it to Dropbox, and then it's available, the little recordings there available when I come into the studio to use as a basis for constructing something in the sequence, you know.
Maybe we're all the same, but I've done that loads of times, just bashed an idea on a phone, because it's always in your pocket, and something will pop into my head and I'll just whistle it or hum it, you know.
I tend to, I don't think I really have a sort of sitting down and messing around session. I tend to record everything from the word go, because I'm not technically particularly, I'm not classically trained, I don't have a technical background in musical instruments, so I tend to just press record and then play. Mm-hmm. I usually have an idea of what I'm going to do as well. I'm not the kind of person who can sit and improvise and then after a few hours go through it and there'll be something there. I tend to have to have an idea first. So that's how I work. But that's the good thing with technology, because if you're recording from the word go, anything you do can be turned into the finished product. You're not having to re-record things. You can always just change what you've got, chop up, change the tempo, change the key. So everything I do is recorded from the very beginning. And I'd like to try and make sure the first thing I do is the thing that I end up using. I'm quite, not superstitious, but I don't like to work on things too much. I like to just assume that what I've come up with to start with is has some value to it and pursue that, because I think if I sort of think that I have to really work hard at the actual coming up of the track, then it's I never feel it's quite as good, or I feel that it's then going to be hard to recreate. Working hard on the mix and the actual recording of it, that's one thing, but the actual idea, I like to get done as quickly as possible.
I don't know about you, but that several times I've bashed something down in a rough form and then try to do it properly, and I'll just end up using the original rough one because there's something about it.
No,
I think that happens a lot. I mean, it's interesting that whole thing about, you know, where does the inspiration come from? You know, where does the idea arrive from? You know, there's lots of stories about songwriters or you know, musicians or composers coming up with stuff quite often at the most inappropriate moments, you know, sort of in the shower or whatever. You've got to capture this idea and not allow it to escape. I think that's really, you know, critical, is that not allowing the idea to go away, you know, to record it in some format wherever you are, whether it's writing it down on a napkin or whatever it is, or you know, recording it into a phone, because you've got to collect these things. I mean, on my computer I have a folder which has got hundreds of ideas in it, and it might be like four bars, or it might be, you know, a minute of something, and they're all kind of there at some stage to be developed. They've all been ideas that at the time I thought, oh well, that's worth collecting. And so there's a pool of stuff there that actually you could draw on as well, you know, if you know them well enough to kind of maybe provide some inspiration for a new piece, or you know, for something, if there are things about it that kind of match the brief that you've got stuff there. And if not, it's stuff that you could work on and develop in the, you know, in the times in between commissions, or if you're working for library tracks or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you believe in inspiration is something that's important to the creative process? Or I'm just thinking, it just reminded me there something that I think it was Julian Cope I read, so make of that what you will, but he said that he didn't believe in inspiration. He simply sat down and made himself write something, and it was like, you make inspiration happen. If you sit and wait for it, the grand idea that something might come to you from the ether, you could be waiting a long time, and it kind of takes it out of your hands in a way. Whereas if you simply sit down to, I will be inspired now, then it quite often happens.
It comes back to what we said earlier about the sort of the preparation part, and just absorbing yourself in influences and just getting your head into gear. I think I think to a degree you can prepare yourself to be inspired. And assemble things that are likely to inspire you. And I mean, I think some things aren't necessarily born out of inspiration at all. They're born out of research, and you sort of your starting point is something you've worked out really by researching a load of facts, and you put them out in front of you and you go, well, these kind of fit together.
Yeah.
And you start like that. And I think
A into slot B and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it could be a bit cold if you don't add some sort of inspirational spark at some point in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it may not be the first thing that happens. The first thing that happens might be quite methodical.
But I mean, it's interesting because, like, I would say most, I mean, certainly at the time when I'm writing them, most of the pieces that I write, I have to like them.
Yeah.
They can't just be like, oh, well, that fits for the film, so therefore, you know, it's all right. I mean, I find it really difficult to be inspired if the music, if I don't like the stuff that I'm coming up with, you know, so it's like that. I suppose, there's a question about where do you, like, at what point do you start to judge what you've come up with? And how...
That's a very good point.
How critical are you with it? And how many ideas do you discard? And what, you know, because I always think that I probably like to generate a few things, and then let it, if you got time, kind of let it settle for a while or come back to it the next day and see whether you like it again. Because that's always a good test, is if you come back to something the day after. And because, you know, I think that thing that we're talking about where people fall in love with demo soundtracks and films happens to composers during the course of the day. You're working on something and you're getting into it and you think it's really good. And then later you come back after a rest or the next day and you listen to it and you think, what was I thinking? You know, what was that?
Yeah.
That's no good at all.
Never happened to me.
But it can be a bit of an emotional roller coaster, can't it? Because you're right. I mean, I'm. You have to, you know, you're trying lots of things out. You're kind of noodling around, and the only things that are going to stick are things that jump out to you as being, oh, that sounds good. So you kind of like everything you've done, but by the nature of what we're doing is you have to not be precious about anything at all, because it's not about the music, it's about the whole. Yeah. And if the director sort of says, I don't like any of that, you've just got to let it go and.
Yeah.
So have you ever done anything that you didn't like, you know, to fit a brief where you're working on something where you thought, this is not what I'm...
I think that's what I was saying was like, at the time, you've got to like it. I think looking back on some stuff, there's some stuff that I probably regretted doing the way that I've done. You know?
But while you were working on anything, have you ever ended up doing something that while you were working on it, just, you know, it worked out the job that way?
I think you've got to try to not be ordinary all the time. not be. There's a thing that drives me to try and create something which is better than just what you can get away with, kind of thing. Because there isn't any point in coming up with stuff which is just all right, you know. So I think there's something. There's a kind of switch that kind of kicks in and says, no, this isn't good enough. You've got to do something else. You've got to make it better somehow, you know. So
I think I've definitely had the same thing. Even when I'm kind of doing a sound alike, for want of a better word, trying to replace a temp track. I might not like it to begin with, but then whatever I'm working, you kind of get into it. It's part of what something clicks, as you say, and you kind of whatever it is. And later on, you might come back to it and go, well, that's not my proudest moment, but. At the time, you just get into it. Otherwise, you can't work.
I don't think you could finish it if you didn't get into it at some point. I think how depressing that would be to actually be recording something that you didn't like day after day. That would be
that would be tough.
But and I suppose if we sort of move on slightly, the kind of final bit of the creative process, I think certainly for you know, in my experience as a composer, is that there's if it works well, there's a relationship with the director or whoever it is that's commissioning the music that will have a kind of creative artistic discussion between the two of you to come up with the best musical solution to whatever whatever it's needed for. So I would say straight out that in most cases, I would, you have to kind of put your ego away a bit, and you have to sort of say, well, you know, I'm part of the filmmaking team, so I've got to kind of respond to that. From my experience, most of the times, well, all of the times when I've done that and taken feedback on board and adapted things and changed it, it's ended up being better because of it. Although at the time you're thinking, well, what's wrong with it? Because it's perfect, you know. I've crafted this and it's beautiful. You know, can you not hear it? But you have to kind of subvert that bit of you a little bit.
Is that fair?
Is that experience?
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And I think more than that, it's helped me in making music outside of this to be more kind of more objective in my approach to making other music and more focused in my kind of my brief to myself kind of thing.
Just to finish with, if you should point out, if you know you respond to inspiration, have your phone with you to record, just make sure that it is waterproof if you're in the shower.
Yes, yes, that's important.
Or if you're using a napkin, don't use that in the shower because it'll just smear.
And obviously, if you're driving, make sure you only do that with a hands-free phone.
Yes.
You only write on a hands-free napkin.